Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Big names are headlining UFC 262, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN when you sign up, and you can turn $1 into $100 when you bet on a main card fighter to win. Place your bet and watch the fists fly this weekend. That's code KSN for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, it's time to talk Penn State playmakers. And you sent me a link to an article from CBS Sports. Their writer, what is it, Tom Fornelli, took a look at all the teams in the Big Ten, had a little blurb on each one of them, and his take on Penn State was the number of playmakers that Penn State has, and just how good is this group?
I mean, that's the purpose of what we're talking about, and I think it's just interesting to put all them together and try to figure out, you know, what all Penn State has in these guys. Because looking at position by position, this is a really strong group. And I know that Penn State had some real transcendent talent at some of these positions. And in the case of the 2016 team, it all came together for a special year with Mike Gesicki, Chris Godwin, Saquon Barkley, and Trace McSorley. It's going to be really hard. You know, there aren't a lot of times in Penn State history, I'm thinking back to maybe like 1994 and that group, where you had all those positions as being such a strength for your team. But this group, it's less proven, obviously. But you look at tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs, and you see a depth of talent. We'll see who jumps out as high-end or transcendent or, you know, legendary-type players. We'll see. I don't know if they've got those pieces per se. But when it comes to any given play, you are looking at seven or eight players who can do something pretty special with the ball in their hands. And I'm curious to see what that means. New offense, how does that look for Mike Yurcich? And then the biggest question of all, and I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people aren't really looking and breaking down the depth of the playmakers, you know, the skilled players in this Penn State offense, is because you're still not sure about Sean Clifford. What good is it if Sean Clifford isn't who you hope he is? What good is it to have a bunch of these skill guys? And how much better, you know, whose job is to elevate who? Is it Sean Clifford's job to elevate talent, or is it the talent's job to elevate Sean Clifford? I think this group has the possibility of being able to elevate Sean Clifford, but you hope as a program that that's not a necessary thing.
I know we're talking about 2021 here, Dustin, but this reminder of that 2016 team, McSorley and Saquon and Gesicki and Godwin and Deshaun Hamilton, they were really good, weren't they?
Man, they were good at the time, and especially in the case of Chris Godwin and Deshaun Hamilton, is that they have really blown away my expectations when it comes to being pros. And both of those guys, you know, I think Chris Godwin came in as a more recognized talent than Deshaun Hamilton did. But then you see what they did and how they developed over their time at Penn State. Chris Godwin is an even better pro than he was during his time at Penn State. And Deshaun Hamilton, I didn't think that he could move the way that he ended up moving, like at his pro day and the NFL combine. Like, they've done a really good job, you know, especially with guys like that, of turning them into what they are today. But certainly at the time, the depth of the playmakers in that offense, how explosive some of these players were, it's almost like, why didn't they get even more out of them? You know, like, they were so good and so explosive in 2016, but they lost two games. It took them a while to find themselves and all that. Chris Godwin was a really, really good player at Penn State, but I felt like there was still some more on the table for him. But that was such a special group of talent. And even with the benefit of hindsight, it looks even more special now.
It really does. And if you want to have fun, see when the Big Ten Network does a replay of that Penn State-Wisconsin Big Ten Championship game. Watch it again. You'll see all the tools they have. And the interesting thing, and I'm going to segue this to the 2021 team, Dustin, so I will get there, is you had a McSorley at quarterback and a Saquon at running back, where you play only one quarterback. You typically only play one running back, but you can play many receivers. So besides Godwin and Deshaun, you still had guys like Blacknall making big plays, if you remember, to that championship game. Now, this Penn State team seems to be a little reverse. You talk about the running backs can drive this conversation because they're a legit five deep. But how valuable is that if I can only play one running back at a time?
Well, I mean, it does allow you to mix and match. It does allow you to absorb injury. You know, if Saquon got injured, you know, what would the drop-off have been in 2016? Where now, you know, there's not much drop-off from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, from 3 to 4. The question is, you know, how do you determine how to mix and match those guys? How do you determine what's the situation for Noah Kane versus what's the situation for Kevon Lee? They're basically identical players. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch is, you know, the upside of this running back room and how Penn State goes about managing them. I thought in 2019, they did an excellent job at managing their running backs. Somebody's going to be on the outside looking in. There's no way around that. If you're fifth in that pile of running backs, your opportunities are going to be very, very scarce. But what I thought that they did back then, and I think they'll do it again, is that they were really equitable and fair, and it was very much merit-based. Who's coming, who's going, who's rising, who's falling, who's practicing well, who's being consistent, who's not. And they did a good job of managing all that. They're going to have to do that again. It's such a responsibility, I think, for Jaywon Sider and James Franklin. But that running back group has a chance to be the focal point of this offense, and for good reason. You know, there's a lot of good backs there, but at the same time, like, Theo Johnson, I think, has a chance to be great. You know, Brenton Strange has been a really good player, but Theo Johnson has a chance to be an excellent player, an NFL-type player. I forget what the time he posted, but he posted something a couple weeks ago about breaking the Penn State record running the 40. He ran the 40 in, like, the 4.5s. You know, as a second-year true freshman. Like, there's a lot of upside to be had there. Then, of course, you look at Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, what they bring to the table already and what they might have coming in behind those guys. And this has a chance, you know, to really have a lot of pieces to be a much, much better offense in 2021. The question is, again, where are we at with the quarterback position?
And we're going to get to the quarterback, but I want to hit these wide receivers. Jahan Dotson stepped up last year and became that number one that we weren't sure he could be. The difference going into this year as opposed to in the last year is we've got the number one guy returning in a slot that we know he fits in. I am a huge Parker Washington fan. I think he's going to have a monster season. I think we're going to see plays where he makes the catch and just tremendous yards after catch. But that does lead to the question, unlike at running back where we're typically playing one, at wide receiver we're typically playing three. So I feel pretty good about one and two. How about number three, number four, and number five, Dustin?
That's the big question is the depth of that rotation. And I think there's reasons to feel good about Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think there's reasons to feel good, especially coming out of the spring, about Cam Sullivan-Brown. I don't think you're looking necessarily for a superstar behind those guys. You do have some nice young players who are still developing behind the scenes, who can one day be part of that conversation. But I think those are the two names. You know, if you have Cam Sullivan-Brown, Brown, who's a really dependable, reliable number three type, or Keandre Lambert-Smith starts to make good on all that potential that the coaching staff sees in him, you have a really good shot with him. Realistically, both of these guys, I think, are going to be factors in some way, shape, or form, and Penn State maybe can go four or five deep. One of the differences is now versus the past probably 3 or 4 years is that the faith in Taylor Stubblefield is much higher that you can develop these guys. You look at how far Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington came. I think there's more confidence that, like, we can't see the progress at this point because we're not at practice. But some of these players, we can feel better about them developing because of what Washington and Dotson showed last year.
All right, we saved the most important aspect for last, Dustin, and that's quarterback and Sean Clifford. There's no safety net. There's not Will Levis there to come in. How does he respond? What does Mike Yurcich do to bring out the best in him?
Well, we'll see what they can do, whether you're looking for Sean Clifford to thrive in this offense, or are you looking to hide him? You know, like that's and as a play caller, you know, I think you're looking for ways to help him thrive, obviously. But if push comes to shove midway through last year, you're hiding the deficiencies if you can. Now, Sean Clifford wants it bad. He's got the physical ability. It's just a matter of unlocking the mental acumen to get the most out of all that stuff. His competitive drive and his ability to actually physically throw the football, it's very much on par with what you want in a quarterback. It's just everything else. And, you know, what can one offensive coordinator do that in a short amount of time that the others maybe haven't been able to do yet? And I think maybe schematically you can scheme your way to getting guys open and hopefully having your quarterback just play a little pitch and catch. But you have to have Sean Clifford. You know, they mentioned recently he's done a really good job of blocking assignments and setting the protections and getting that part of it. You have to have him being able to react on the fly and being able to react to adverse situations to be able to get the ball out. But they've got the types of playmakers, A, with the running game, and B, with the tight ends and these guys who can do a lot of really good work in the short passing game, that you're able to create offense even if your quarterback has some issues or has some struggles. And I think that's one of the things with this particular group of playmakers is that the way they make plays in the short and intermediate part of the field, they can help Sean Clifford and maybe get him going, get some confidence throws early in games and maybe get him going, or at least that's the hope as we sit here today.
A year ago, last season, the formula Kirk Ciarrocca found to win was to get really conservative with Sean Clifford. They won 4 games, and Kirk Ciarrocca was out looking for another job because James Franklin wants an explosive offense. That's the conflict. That's the contradiction that we'll see if Mike Yurcich can unlock it. That is it for quarter number 3. Stick around. We've got one more quarter to go.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, bet $1 on that fighter, and if they win, you win $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.